We'll see. We'll have fun with that.
We'll
set a tree on fire.
Yeah.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome on this beautiful Sunday afternoon as we gather and actually get to celebrate a fall day finally here in December that finally came around, and as we celebrate the rising sun and the risen sun. A few announcements before we get started. Books for the Soul. We'll be discussing Kay Ward's book, Park Benches, on December 18th, and that will be at Buehler's from 7 to 8. Copies can be purchased from the IBOC website. And those of you who are interested on saving on shipping costs, Jackie Pasquinelli is actually going back to Bethlehem next weekend. So get in touch with her, and she'd be happy to pick up a copy of Kay's book for you directly from the store. Please don't forget, tonight at Sharon, we have a special worship service, Advent Communion at 6 p.m., and then the Love Feast at Shenrun Village, which will take place next Sunday at 2 p.m. Both of those are very special services, an important part of our church life. Also, Saturday, December 15th, from 6 to 9, we will be opening our building to all youth from 6th grade to age 21, as our RYC is in town to plan for Tar Hollow. The building will be open to kids for games, pizza, and fellowship. It is free of charge. Just let us know if you are going so we can figure out how many pizzas to order. And please don't forget, our Sunday school kids are already practicing for their Christmas pageant coming up on December 16th. I'm excited to see the final results of that as we get to see an emoji Christmas from their eyes. Also, spiritual companioning will meet at the church on Tuesday from 7 to 8. The optional bring your own meal and eat in fellowship hall will be from 6:30 to 7. And our nominating committee will meet tomorrow at 7 p.m. And also, please don't forget, the women's board will meet briefly after church. Does anybody else have any other announcements? Missy, you want to?
First of all, how many of you know what ONMP is? Good, you have some. It's better than what ONMP is. But if you get there early, you can sit by the fire and also have a nice love feast with all of the county. And we hope to see you there. So please come out tonight and next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that good advertisement, Missy. It is a great, great gathering. And this year we will be blessed to have Heather Vasek preaching for us. She's a member. Actually, she's a Moravian, but she's a member of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And she comes all the way down to T County every year just because of how much she loves this service. So it's great to have her be a part of this. And it's always great when we get great attendance from everybody else in the Valley. Does anybody else have any other announcements at this time? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
That's 10 degrees warmer than last.
Thank you.
You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week as we celebrate this first Sunday of the Advent season. And our watchword this week comes from the 21st chapter of Luke, the 33rd verse. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Amen. You may be seated.
Please stand for the call to worship. God has fulfilled the wonderful promise he has made with his people.
A righteous reign has been given to us. He will be just to do what is just and right.
What shall we call this righteous branch?
We shall call him Emmanuel.
You may be seated.
As we go on a journey to Bethlehem, we await with great anticipation for the coming of Jesus. God is already here with us, and he desires for us to embrace the life that he will send in his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the one that brings us hope, peace, joy, and love to the world and to each of us. We light the first candle, the candle of hope, with great expectation of the coming Messiah. The day of salvation is here and now. The world that we live in can be unkind and unloving. Sometimes life seems to go all wrong. Today, let us not allow the world to bring us down, but rather choose hope. A hope in a Savior that will bring light and life to a broken world.
May remain seated as we join together to sing hymn number 266, "People in Darkness Are Looking for Light." And we're going to sing verse 2, the verse of hope.
Thank you. join me for the Advent liturgy found on page 49. And we will be singing the Hosanna. And the pulpit side will do the first one. The lectern side will do the second part. And that's on page 239 when we get to that section. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, all the earth. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Rejoice greatly, shout for joy. See, your King is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation.
You came to the help of your people and have set them free.
You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, a descendant of your servant David.
You promised through your holy prophets long ago that you would save us from our enemies, from the power of all those who hate us.
You have shown mercy promised to our ancestors and have remembered your holy covenant.
With the solemn oath to our ancestor Abraham, you promised to rescue us from our enemies and allow us to serve you without fear.
So that we might be holy and righteous before you all the days of our life.
By your tender mercy, you caused the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us.
To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way.
The voice of the messenger echoes from the desert, calling us to prepare the way of the Lord and to make a straight path on which he may come. Let us confess our sins so that our crooked ways will be made straight and the rough ways smooth. Please be seated. Gracious Lord Jesus, you come to us with the good news of salvation, but too often we fail to notice. You come to us day by day, yet we close the doors of our hearts when it seems convenient to do things our own way. We ignore your presence and your leadership. We have failed to act justly,
to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with our God. Forgive us, merciful Lord. May we live so that the world will know that you have come. Amen. Through John the Baptizer, we hear the Lord's promise. Turn away from your sins, and God will forgive your sins.
Thank you.
Eternal God, ruler of all ages, graciously you come to us in order that we might come to you through the merit of Jesus Christ, strengthened by the Holy Spirit.
Help us and all your children to respond to the call of your gospel with faith, love, and hope.
God of faith, you created humanity to serve and praise you, and even when we rebelled against you, you promised to send a Savior to redeem us from our sins.
Strengthen our faith in your saving work through Christ, as you chose the people of Israel to hear the promise of redemption through the prophets. May people today believe in your goodwill for all you have made.
God of love, you fulfilled your promise of a Redeemer in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Grant us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we may share your love with the sick and the afflicted, with the poor and the homeless, with the victims of injustice and discrimination, and with all who are experiencing times of trouble.
God of hope, you comfort us through our Savior's promise to return in glory at the end of time.
As we await the coming of the Prince of Peace, let us not despair. We long for you to inspire all the nations and people of the world to turn to cooperation and nurture, rather than to hatred and destruction.
God of faith, love, and hope, to you and to you alone we pray.
For you are our God, the only God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand. You made to our ancestors and have come to the help of your servant people.
You remember to show mercy to Abraham and Sarah and to all their descendants forever.
We praise you, Lord. You are enthroned in glory, yet you came and continue to come for all who will receive you. We praise you, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever.
To you be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
What a beautiful way to bring in the Advent season as we all shout Hosanna together. Hooray for the coming Emmanuel who has been welcomed to us. As we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering today, let us remember that as we give to God, we give to our family, we give to our loved ones, we give to so many people. But first and foremost, let us give to the one who created us, the one who loved us, and the one who has always taken care of us. Pray together. Precious Savior, help us to utilize this season of Advent to look to you, the Prince of Peace. May we give freely in remembrance of all the wonderful gifts God provides us with. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer as we welcome God into this sanctuary and remind each other, first and foremost, the presence of God is everlasting and almighty. First and foremost, let us give thanks to Sarah Gibbs, who had a heart transplant last week, who will be coming home tomorrow, and what a wonderful gift that has been. For John Oliver from Fry's Valley, who had a successful heart cath done on Monday at Altman. Emily and I want to give thanks to all of you who prayed for my successful surgery on Wednesday. I had my left cochlear implant done, at least the device part has been implanted. Now I have no natural hearing in my left ear until I get the device, actually, that looks similar to this one in January, and that the internal device gets turned on as well. So you have 1 month to whisper in my left ear anything you want to say about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. But after that, it's game on, folks. but seriously, we do want to thank you. Thank you for all the prayers and the well wishes, and especially for the travel mercies going to and from Cleveland. We uplift Scott Edwards, the brother of Jeff Edwards, who is a friend of Amy Pasquinelli in prayer. He has a mass on his intestines, and we ask that we continue to hold him in prayer. For Eric Renner, who will be going in for his procedure on Thursday, December 6th, for the gamma knife surgery, we pray for him, for Katie, for his two children, that everything goes well and as expected. For Dave Wickman, the former president of the Northern Province of the Moravian Church, who has ventricular tachycardia, and he has a bunch of tests coming up this December. We continue to uplift him and his family in prayer. And for the life and service of President George H. Bush, for his dedication to his country, for his family, for his faith, for somebody who really seemed to put parties aside and put people first, we give thanks for that. And especially this Advent season, a time to really ring in that Jesus is with us, that Jesus will be with us, and Jesus will sustain us in all times and all places. Let us take some time in silence to invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for your coming presence, your arrival that comes this Advent season. And as the sun shines down on us today, may God's light shine within us every day. And as we hear the calls of children this morning, help us to remember that this is what Advent season is all about, that we welcome in the Prince of Peace who came in the humblest, most vulnerable form, a child who welcomed this world, and we called him Emmanuel. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship, those recovering from procedures, surgeries, and those who are waiting for the next steps. Help each one of us to encapsulate the spirit of patience that comes from Advent. For we do not know the exact day that you are returning, but we do know that your presence is with us every single day. And when we confess what we have done and what we have not done, we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In this Advent season, sometimes we have been selfish instead of selfless. And help us to remember that you, Christ, should be first in our hearts. Your compassion, your love, your mercy should pour out of each one of us every chance we get. And as the busyness of this Advent season continues, help each one of us to slow down and take a second, take a minute for God to remember why we're here, who we're here, and that we have so much to share with one another. For the love of God is so vital to our existence and should be poured out to all in compassionate love. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 10. It can be found on page 393 in your pew Bibles. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant.
Thank you, Jacob. Our gospel today comes from the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming to the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At the time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When the things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, anxieties of life, and that day will come close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. Church, because we celebrate the beginning of an important season. Can anybody tell me what it is? Carter? December? What's the church word for it? Nick? Christmas? There's another word. Christmas is actually the day we celebrate on December 25th. From December 2nd to about December 23rd, we celebrate another season. Nick, what is it? Jesus is born. It starts with an A. It's another word for arrival. Advent. Good one, Carter. And Advent means that Jesus is coming. Oh, yeah? And we get ready for the arrival of God. And we sing a special song during Advent that makes Moravians very happy. That starts with an H. Does anybody know what special song that is? H? Hosanna. Does anybody know what Hosanna means? Nick? Jesus is coming? Close. What's a word for, what's something you shout up in your hand when you say you're very excited? Say hip, hip. Hooray! So Hosanna is another word that means hooray. So when we say Hosanna, Hosanna, God is coming, that means hooray, hooray. God is finally with us. And so Advent is a time when we celebrate miracles. Does anybody know what a miracle is? Can somebody tell me what that is? That's a good one, yeah. Something that comes to us. How about something that God gives us? It's a gift from God. So what would be the gift from God we receive on Christmas Eve? Aubrey? What was that? That's a good one, Carter. Jesus is our gift that we receive from God. And the miracles we receive come in all different shapes and sizes. So this past week, I got to receive a different type of miracle. I got a medical miracle. And it's something that helps me hear. Without this device, I could not hear anything. So this is called a cochlear implant. And I got one of these on my right side. And on Wednesday, I had surgery to get one of these on my left side so I could hear with both ears. So that means without this device, I couldn't hear anything. So if I take this off right now, you can say whatever you want as loud as you want it. So can you guys scream for me? That's all you got? That's all you got? Whoa, I could feel it when I put it back on. And so that device allows me to hear. And, ooh, okay, now we're good. Now I know it works. What did Pastor Ben start today, huh? And so that gives me a great opportunity. And you know what that shows me? The miracles come in all different shapes and sizes. Some of them work through medicine. Some of them are given us specifically from God, like Jesus was. And each one of you, when you were born, you were considered a miracle from God. Because God placed you with your families in a special place and time. Oh yeah, with a special mom and dad and a special grandma and grandpa. So I want you... Yeah, and that's what we remember this Advent season. That God took the patience and the time to take care of each one of us. And present us with wonderful miracles that will surprise us every single day. Whether we have a mask on or whether we're just normal people, God gives us miracles. So let's take a moment to pray. In our circle, and then you guys can grab your tree. Wait, you want to step in here? Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these children. Please let the season of Advent hit their hearts. Help them to be patient for the gifts they will receive, for the gifts they will share, and help them to remember first and foremost that each one of them are gifts from God. That have a special place and a special purpose in this world. And dear God, please use them to share your wonderful compassion with this world. In your gracious name we pray. Okay, very good. I think we got enough practice today. Take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and help us to inspire within our hearts what you call us to do in the past moment, in the present moment, in the future moment. May God be with us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So this Advent season, I will be returning to the pulpit since I still have some stitches in my left ear, so I get to use my gripping device once again. So I'm excited to have that back. But as we we digress in looking into the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 25 to 36. And I think the message for us is a simple one, but sometimes a challenging one to digest. Waiting is hard. Patience for any of us is a virtue. Has anybody here ever taken somebody below the age of 6 fishing sometime? Has anybody ever done that? How'd that go? Not so well. It can be a challenge. And I remember being 5 or 6 and my parents taking me fishing. And I would always complain that I could never catch a fish. And you know what the biggest issue was? I was casting and I was reeling in before the worm had actually hit the water. And so that really had kept my ability to catch fish. My percentages went way down because I didn't have the patience to be a fisherman yet. It took time. And I think there is some virtueness or some wisdom for Jesus who picked fishermen to be some of his disciples, because they were people blessed with a great deal of patience who had waited their great life. Patience is a challenge, especially for you Ohio State fans today as you wait to find out which bowl game you're going to. And I see a lot of praying knees that are not going to be lazy during this sermon right now. Patience is important. And the sad truth is that we as adults, we love to laugh at that 6-year-old kid with the fishing pole, but we aren't much more patient than kids anymore. We live in a world where we want everything now, at the tip of our fingers, immediately. Just take 15 minutes someday to wait to respond to a phone call, a text message, or a work email. And you take that 15 minutes and people want to know why you're upset. Why are you ignoring them? Because we want our answer now. And actually, at our clergy retreat this past year, Rick Beck, the leader of the retreat, shared with me that social scientists are now saying that the attention span for goldfish and human beings are almost equal, or getting to the point where the attention span of goldfish are now longer than some human beings. So if you look at Dory from Finding Nemo, she's actually somebody to look up to now rather than somebody to pity. Patience is difficult. But Christ in Advent is calling us to a different level of patience. He reminds us to wait for the return of Christ, but for us there is no egg timer or phone alarm to be set. We are waiting on something many of us probably will not see in our lifetimes. Jesus said in verse 34, "Be on guard so that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catches you unexpectedly like a trap." And when I think about what Jesus says, it can be a little confusing. Because what does it mean to be on alert? I think we struggle with what alertness looks like. And I don't know about you, but that's something I've always struggled with. Because I remember being 11 or 12 years old, and right after 9/11 happened, I remember the Homeland Security alerts that would come out, that would release their terrorism advisory system. And it would go by color, where green was the lowest, yellow was elevated, orange was high, and red was severe. And I remember that these colors would change throughout different weeks after 9/11. And I struggled with that as a kid because they never gave us something tangible to do as private citizens if the alert level changed. And I always wished they did, so that way I could do my thing. Because we want something we can put our hands on and take control of when we're on alert. For example, I think like green could have been like, you go out and you buy a helmet day. That's where you get your helmet, you go get ready. Yellow, you put on your helmet. Orange, you buy as many SpaghettiOs as you can. And red, you hide in your basement with your loved one and your SpaghettiOs, and you just wait to see what's going to find out. But because we didn't have that tangible things to do, it was often very anxious when alert levels were changed because we wanted something to do. And perhaps this is a reminder from Christ that life happens during some of our most surprising interruptions. The moments we least expect it, God will reach us. And one of the gifts I received being a minister is that it has taught me that as a control freak, life cannot be controlled as much as I want it to be. Phone calls and unexpected knocks on the door can change the course of a day in a moment. And that is okay, I'm learning, very slowly learning, that if my mapped out life gets rerouted or hits a detour once in a while, that life will be okay. And some of the most precious and sacred moments of our life are impossible to prepare for, and we can only respond the best we can with love and grace. Life happens at the most unexpected time. And so when you think about that, I want you to think about, what moments has God surprised you with lately? What moments has God taken you by surprise and just made you go, wow, or thanks, or just surprised you? See, the challenge we do have is we can, however, plan to have our lives interrupted. We cannot plan what the interruption will be, but we can make space in our schedule to have a plan to have our life interrupted once in a while. In other words, it is wise that we leave time open in our weekly calendar for surprises, which can be a little bit of an oxymoron, but is important to do. Because I had a wise seminary professor who told us, if you plan out your work schedule for 40 hours a week, you're going to end up working 50. And if you plan for 50, you will end up working 60 because of those unexpected interruptions that always happen. And I think one of the reasons we fear interruptions so much is because we jam our schedules so tight that unexpected surprises feel like major emergencies instead of small interruptions, because we all have that next place we gotta be. So leave space in your calendar for God moments. I know it can be challenging, but leave space for God moments, because they're gonna happen whether we plan them or not. We need to be open to God moments, no matter how busy or distracted we feel. And I really thought about this hard this past week, because I wrote this sermon the day before Emily and I left for Cleveland Clinic to have my surgery. And I kind of wish I hadn't written this sermon about waiting for unexpected God moments, because we were actually in pre-surgery checkup. And we had Emily and I had an interesting conversation with the woman who was checking us in at Cleveland Clinic. And it turns out that this woman was completely deaf in her right ear. And when I started telling her that I was going in for a cochlear implant surgery, this woman had just a ton of questions for me about what this process was like. And my first reaction was just kind of to take a step back and just, hey, I've got surgery in 2 hours. Now's not a good time to answer those questions. But I remembered thinking about writing this sermon and remembering that maybe this was a God moment. And I talked to this woman. I actually walked her through this process about what a cochlear implant is like, what doctors you need to talk to, what the surgery is like. And, you know, I'm never usually that patient, and I think I needed to check myself, because had I not written that sermon, I don't think I would have been as patient. But those moments come in the most surprising places, and the moments we least expect it. But God is there. God is challenging you in those moments to remind people that God is with us. And since we don't know the day, we don't have our Advent calendars, don't tell us the day when Christ is returning to our world, that gives us the opportunity, to focus on the journey with God and not worry about the destination. We can focus on the importance of the present moment rather than the future moment. It was one of my favorite theologians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, always said, the world has always had the most important moment in history, and it has always been the same moment, the present. That is the opportunity you have to shape. And think about that as we parent to our children. If we parent to especially small kids, we need to focus on enjoying the moment, on enjoying the laughter, the joy, and the innocence they bring. Because we will have plenty of time to focus on getting them on the right college track and making sure they become well-adjusted adults. But those small moments, when they are little and precious, those are the moments we need to absorb today. That means if we are in a meaningful relationship with someone, we don't dwell on the couple that we were in the past. We don't dwell on the couple that we will be in the future, or the relationship we will be in the future, but we cherish that loved one. Like, their presence in that moment is all we need to sustain our relationship and love. And when we come with that perspective, the future in that relationship is just a bonus. It's a God-given bonus. And that also means that if we have loved ones in our family who are sick or aging, that we don't take a second for granted. We have the important conversations now instead of kicking cans down the road. We enjoy the dinner table that we have today instead of anxiously wondering who will be sitting next to us in 5 or 10 years. And I promise you, it's never too early to tell someone how much you love them. It's never too early. And countless people have left their feelings within for a loved one waiting for a perfect moment that never came. What they failed to realize is that those moments only became special God moments when they spoke from their heart and shared truly what they felt from that person, one child of God to another. And if we do little things like these, not big heroic things, but these small little opportunities, we will be on guard as Christ calls us to do. Because a big part of Advent is remembering that we wait once again for the physical presence of Christ, but we also remember that the spiritual presence of Christ has never left our side, not once. And remember, Emmanuel means God is with us. Not God will be with us, not God was with us, but God is with us. So this Advent season, look to truly see the presence of Christ in the present moment, in the present opportunity, in the present love that has been given to you and poured out for you by Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your arrival that comes this Advent season. Help each one of us to be patient and sustaining and gracious. And as we listen to you, help us to remember that you too came as a child in this world, and that love we will feel every single day when we let Christ into our hearts. May we remember that Emmanuel, God is with us in all times and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. And let us stand as we sing together, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.